truly we give honor to God our Father, because He is a mighty good God. We thank our young folk. Amen, amen. Can we give them a hand clap of praise? Amen. Way to tell you, as Monica just said, that He wants all of us. Amen. He wants all of us. So whatever is troubling you, whatever is on your mind, whatever is causing you not to be at one and at peace with God, now's the time to shake it off. Shake it off. And render all our all to God, because He is a mighty good God. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we say that it's good to be here. Amen, amen. There's a word from the Lord. Amen. But may we pray that we would receive the anointing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. We come before you with bowed heads and humble spirits and humble hearts, trusting and believing in you, Lord, that you can do all things but fail. Master, right now somebody needs the healing. Somebody needs a financial breakthrough. Somebody needs a release from the strain and stress of the agony of what they're going through. Somebody right now, Father, just stands in need of you. We ask, oh Lord, for the manifestation of your Holy Spirit, that you will manifest in our hearts. You'll manifest within our minds. That you will come and see about us and give us what we so desire. Bless us, oh Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. We count it all done and claim it in the name of Jesus. And for his name's sake, we pray, amen, amen, and amen, amen. For those of you who have your Bibles, of course, we report back to the book of Mark, chapter number 16, as we will continue around the theme after post-resurrection as to what Jesus is doing to the church and what he requires of the church through his disciples and his great commission. Mark chapter 16, and we will look at verses 14 through 15. Mark chapter 16, verses 14 and 15 reads as follow. After he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world. We'd like to use as a subject this morning, help wanted. Kingdom building starts with you. Amen. Help wanted. Kingdom building starts. But you notice what he says in verse 15. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Help wanted. Kingdom building starts with you. My brothers and my sisters, I'm sure all of us in here have at some point have seen help wanted signs posted, whether they were posted in the newspaper ads or posted online or posted in storefronts or in business windows or even advertised by word of mouth. We've all seen places in need of help. Now, in some cases, not only are business signs posted, but there are instances in which people or family members ask by word of mouth of others who are looking for work. And for those who don't mind getting paid under the table, either way, needed help is needed help. Even so, either with experience or without experience, when help is needed, you can be trained to do the job. But in order to complete the need of the job, you got to be willingly to show up on the job. I need your prayers now. And then do what is expected of you when asked by the boss man or by the manager on the job. Otherwise, you won't get paid, much less you won't have a job come payday. Therefore, doing the work of any job is a wise thing to do if you expect to get anything in return. Well, such is the case of our text, which centers around a help-wanted instance whereby Jesus is advertising kingdom building by word of mouth to his already trained on the job disciples. Matthew 28 is where 10 is where Jesus posted the start of his help-wanted signs, and it says, "Then Jesus said unto them, be not afraid, go and tell my brothers that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me." He starts that process because he's going to tell them what he needs them to do. But the question is, why does Jesus want to meet with them? Well, he wanted to meet with them because there was some unfinished work within the church that needed to be done by them. And in the meantime, he was going to help them along the way. So he stayed around for 40 days prior to his ascension, prior to him going back into the sky. He stayed around for 40 days after his resurrection. Jesus spent time around the city of Jerusalem, removing all doubts and subduing all fears and clearing away all uncertainties, and emphatically declared unto his disciples that the work of the church had just begun. He had to meet with the disciples because he wanted them to make and train them how to be better Christians for kingdom building so others would follow him. And so I submit to you that Jesus still wants to meet with us to make us better for his kingdom. I wish I had some help in here. No wonder the Bible tells us how to be better Christians. In 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God." And so if we're ever going to serve God in the capacity of kingdom building, if we're ever going to convince people that Jesus is alive and that he saves, if we're ever going to bring the lost to Jesus Christ, and if we ever going to help save souls, then we must study the word of God. And we must know how he wants us to help him do his will. I wish I had some help in here myself, my brothers and sisters. And so the first thing that we can consider from this text is Jesus wants your help to add souls to the kingdom of God. Let me say that again. Jesus wants your help to add souls to the kingdom of God. No need sitting up here looking pretty. All right? Yeah, you look good in Jesus. But it's best to work for Jesus, looking good. I wish I had some help in here. He wants your help. Help wanted, Goodwill. He wants your help to help add souls to the kingdom of God. Notice what it says in verse 14. It says, "And he said unto them, go ye into all the world." That's what he said. "And preach the gospel to every creature." Goodwill. Just like Jesus wanted the help of his disciples, in like manner, he also wants our help for kingdom building. He wants you to serve him by helping him add souls to heaven by you helping other folks get saved. I don't know about you, but y'all ought to be able to wave your hand and say, "Here I go, Jesus. Here I go. Use me." I know I can say, "Here I am," but "Here I go. You send me, I'm going." And so if they're here in this text, he is speaking to you for your help through the Great Commission. Now, the Great Commission is spelled out for us here in Matthew 16:15. It says, "The Lord told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Keep in mind, his command is just not for the 12 disciples, but it is for all disciples. The word disciple simply means one who follows another. And so all of God's people are his disciples. You see,
although you came to hear and learn from the word of God through the teaching and the preaching and the hearing of his holy word, yet you did not come to just follow me, but because you believe in God, because you believe in praise and worshiping God, and because you believe in the blessing and favor of God, you too now follow after the will of God. And so that's why you're here in the house of goodwill. You're here because if you do his will, he'll give you a blessing. Come on, somebody. If you do his will, he'll put clothes on your back. If you do his will, he'll bless you with a job. If you do his will, he'll bless you with overflow blessing. You're here because you do his will. And he needs you to show others the benefits of doing his will. You too now follow after the will of God. That's why you're here in the house of God Sunday after Sunday, praising God from on high. Because one day, some time ago, as David said in Psalms 51 verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You see, all of us were in the muck and miry clay of sin. Yet God saved, God used somebody to help us get saved and delivered too. And that's why you're here serving him. You see, it takes more than 12 people to evangelize the world. So then that means that I am a disciple, you are a disciple, the person sitting next to you is a disciple, and the same is true with believers in every part of the world. When we become Christians, we become responsible to tell others the wonderful news that we have received. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and 20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, ye be reconciled to God. Goodwill, now that you are saved, God now expects you to be his ambassador for saved and unsaved folks. I wish I had some help in here. Let me go to the choir. Young folk. Yeah. You. The one on the cell phone. You. All of you are not looking at me. God expects you. That's why I'm going to call you out. Okay. Because I need your help. You understand? God expects you to tell somebody about Jesus and how good Jesus has been to you. Can I get you to help me praise God, young folk? Oh, come on, somebody. Is he good to you? Come on. Is God good? Has God been good to you? If he's been good to you, wave your hand in the air like you just don't care. And say, for God I live, God I'm willing to die. Because he's good. And he's good all the time. The disciples knew that the work of the church was on them. Jesus needed them to let others know that there are many roads that had to be traveled for the lost. There are many ears that had not heard of him. There are many hands that had not reached out to him. There were many hearts that had not received him. The work of Christianizing the world had just begun. Jesus spent 3 years in his ministry being baptized by John in the Jordan River. And during those 3 years, he healed the sick. He comforted the lonely. He gave sight to the blind. He helped the hearing impaired and so on. But he had to leave here in order to finish the task of being about man's salvation. He could not stay here and be with us all at the same time. So he had to leave the work of the church. He had to leave the unfinished work in the care of the few and faithful followers of him. And so Jesus needs your help to get others saved. But the question is, how do you get others saved for salvation.
Yes.
Thus, this brings us to the second point is, and that is, convince any and all persons that Jesus saved. Goodwill, the work is left up to you. And in order for you to get folks into the kingdom of God, you got to convince anybody, all persons that Jesus saved. Goodwill, as best as you can, convince folks that Jesus saves. Notice what he says in verse 15. He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Make no mistake about this. Not everybody wants to be saved. Yet it is still our job as Christians that we do our best to help get folks to believe in God, though they can't see him. We must help them put their trust in God, and we must help them put their faith in God. We were left with a divine command by Jesus to help the lost. Matthew 20, 19, in like manner, the pathway where Jesus said, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. So what? You can't preach, but you can teach all nations. And he says, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We are commanded by Jesus to convert non-believers into becoming saved, baptized believers of God. He says in 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Goodwill, the works of and in the church of God starts with us. Still, not everybody wants to be saved and delivered from sin. As hard as you may try to get folks to believe and become saved, know that the devil is trying even harder to keep them in bondage. But still, Jesus wants commitment out of you for kingdom building. And so, can I do a roll call? He wants commitment out of you. And since folks say they don't lie on Sunday, you know, a lot of save us say we don't lie on Sunday. Am I right about that? You said that before. Or if it was Friday or Thursday, you would say, well, it's too close to Sunday for me to tell a lie. So let me tell the truth. Y'all never said that?
No.
We used to say it all the time. We still do say it. Now realize that we're never supposed to lie. So can I get you to not lie to Jesus for me? The works of the church starts with you. If you're committed to Jesus, just do this one thing. Lord, say, Lord, I'm committed to do your will. In my lifetime, I'm going to help somebody get saved. Thank you, Goodwill. Thank you, Goodwill. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You ought to be in the clap for yourself that you're committed, that you're going to help somebody get saved. And so we must convince folks that despite their wrongs, God is the forgiving God. He is a God who gives more than a second chance. And the best way to tell that person is that here I am. He forgave me a long time ago. And he'll forgive you if you just believe and confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God. God is a forgiving God, but he is a God, and he is also a God who will look beyond your faults, and he'll give you another, and another, and another, and another. What do you tell the unsaved? Believe, and he'll forgive you, and give you another, and another, and another, and another chance. But you gotta trust him and follow him no matter what. That's why he said in John 10, 9 and 10, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pastures. But then he says, the thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. He said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So what do you tell the unsaved? Tell them to try my Jesus. Try him out. He's worthy to be praised. God through Jesus is working on us. And he wants all of us to have life and have it more abundantly. Now don't get me wrong, not all wants to be saved. But that what Jesus said in Matthew 10, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, then when you depart after that house, he said, shake off the dust from your feet. Not everybody are going to accept you. And if they don't accept you, in the name of Jesus, shake the dust from your feet and go on your way. Folks must understand this goodwill, like you understand, is that heaven and hell are real places. Come on, somebody. Heaven and hell are real places. I don't know about you, but I'm in church because heaven is real. I left the streets a long time ago because hell is also real. I don't want to go to hell, but I want to go to heavens. And so somebody showed me who Jesus is or who Jesus was. So I decided to follow Jesus a long time ago. And because I want to go to heavens and I don't want to go to hell. So I need you to help deliver the unsaved, not to go to hell, but help them go to heaven. Because heaven and hell are real places. And so thirdly, when you talk to them, in the name of Jesus, speak with authority that God is a good God. Some folks won't believe you, but you got to go to them in the name of Jesus. Notice what he says. He says, verse 7, he says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly things, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick in my name, and they shall recover in my name. So goodwill, speak in the name of Jesus with authority. I said, talk to somebody in the name of Jesus with authority. My brothers and my sisters, I believe God through the Holy Spirit is speaking to all of us that when you leave this place, don't go in just your name, but go in the name of Jesus. Tell the lost that he can find them. Tell the unsaved that he can save them. Tell the blind that if you call him in his name, in the name of Jesus, you'll see and you'll be able to see your sight. Goodwill, can you use the name of Jesus with authority? Can you use the name of Jesus among unbelievers and show them that in the name of Jesus, you can speak over things? In the name of Jesus, you can speak over your marriage and your marriage will get right. In the name of Jesus, you can speak over your children and your children will be protected. In the name of Jesus, you can speak over your family and your family will be protected. In the name of Jesus, you can speak to that cantankerous hellhounder supervisor and that cantankerous hellhounder's supervisor will change his ways. In the name of Jesus, you can speak over your finances. In the name of Jesus, you can speak of your body and your body will get healed. In the name of Jesus, you can speak to things and things will become new. In the name of Jesus, there's power. In the name of Jesus, when you leave here, do it in the name of Jesus. Why do you praise him? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's healing In the name of Jesus, there's a job for you. In the name of Jesus, there's a blessing with your name on it. In the name of Jesus, come on, somebody. In the name of Jesus, can you give him praise? In the name of Jesus, he's worthy. In the name of Jesus, he can do above, abundantly, above anything you ask. In the name of Jesus, it can be done. In the name of Jesus, it shall be done. In the name of Jesus, somebody through you will get saved. In the name of Jesus, go forth and save the unsavable. Go forth and love the unlovable. Go forth and help those who stand in need. Jesus needs your help. Help wanted. It starts with you. When you get up, know that there's power in the name of Jesus. Speak it, goodwill. Call those things which are not as though they are. There is healing, Sandy, in that death, that niece of yours. There is healing for your mama. There is healing in the name of Jesus for your husband. There is healing in the name of Jesus for your brother. There is healing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Go ye therefore, teach them in the name of Jesus. Preach to them in the name of Jesus. Get them baptized in the name of Jesus. Get them saved in the name of Jesus. Get them healed in the name of Jesus. Get them delivered in the name of Jesus. And like you, get them blessed, highly favored in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, get them like you. Can you do that? It starts with you. And you just go to that brother and show him or her that in the name of Jesus, I was like you. But in the name of Jesus, you can be like me. I love the Lord. In the name of Jesus, you can love him. In the name of Jesus, I believe in the Lord. And you can believe in it too. In the name of Jesus, I was baptized. And you can get baptized too. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to get salvation. And you can get it too. Help wanted. It starts with you. Glory. Glory. Glory be to God. In the name of Jesus. You got to show them whatever you speak on, you can call it out. And non-believers will see that if you can praise God the way you're praising him, I ought to be able to praise God just like you praising him. But if you sit down on God and do nothing, come on somebody, and you say you heaven bound, look like I ought to be able to sit down on God and do nothing and be heaven bound. But it doesn't work that way, goodwill. He says, go ye you out. Come on, somebody. Go you out. Help wanted. Salvation, the work of the church starts with you. It starts with you, goodwill. It starts with you. How do you think we get people on this pew? Come on, somebody. Like we got people on this pew from one end to the other. Come on, somebody. It starts with you. Oh, come on, somebody. You got to go get somebody for kingdom building. I don't know about you, but hell is real. It's real. And all I got to do is to get you to stop cussing. Oh, I can do that. All I got to do is get you to start believing. Oh, I'm going to do that. All I got to do is get you to start trusting God. Oh, I can do that. All I got to do is just come to the house of the Lord. Oh, I'm going to do that. And I can get my blessing in heaven. Oh, come on. That's a good exchange policy there. That's pretty good right there. Come on, somebody. Oh, I don't know why. Y'all can't get happy to do that? Come on, somebody. Come on. Heaven is real. And later we'll see in Acts when the angel said, why ye stand and gaze the same Jesus whom you see is going up. Come on, somebody. He's coming back down. Come on, somebody. He's coming back for a church. Come on, somebody. Without a spot or stain. Oh, we got spots and stains, but we can shout it out in the name of Jesus. We can shout it out in the name of Jesus. I'm forgiven. We can shout it out in the name of Jesus. And when he comes back, I'm finished here. He'll say, well done, thy good and faithful. Come on, somebody. He wants some faithful Christians. He wants some faithful goodwill folk up in here to go out and find some unfaithful, unsaved, unchurched, done believers, and you just tell them about the word of God. You ain't got to yell, fuss, and cuss. They don't accept it. He said, shake what the dust or the dirt from your feet and go by your business. Amen. Come on, somebody. Now, y'all know it is on Sunday. Y'all did say y'all are what? Committed, right? Amen. Amen. So come next Sunday. Come on, somebody. Church ought to be, that's right. It ought to be what? Come on, somebody. Everybody in here ought to be able to bring somebody in here. He did say, I'm just trying to paraphrase what he said. He said, go ye therefore. Come on, somebody. Just like somebody convinced you to come to church, you got to convince somebody to come to church. Amen? I'm finished here. I'm finished here.
In the name of Jesus, in the name